All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy to understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, everybody, welcome back. We got another awesome interview for you guys. I am joined by a gentleman and a scholar, Henry Pikala, who is the co-founder of Streamer Network. And I might have butchered the name, but Henry, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for joining.
Thanks a lot. And you did really well on that name, so congratulations.
And I know you are Finnish, but you're living out of the United Kingdom, is that right?
No, I'm in Switzerland, actually, the Crypto Valley, as they call it.
What's going on in Crypto Valley? Because it's funny, we haven't really had anybody talk about it yet, but we, in the 80s and the 70s, right, there was Silicon Valley. And that was, everybody figuring out how transistors and semiconductors worked. And it spawned what everybody now knows as, the tech hub of the world, Silicon Valley. But now, in the past few years, Crypto Valley has taken place in Zug, Switzerland. Tell us about what that entire renaissance is feeling like.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, I think the sort of glimmering picture is a bit prettier than what it really is, especially now in COVID times when there's little interaction between the teams. But on paper, it sounds really good to be here where some other projects are based as well. For example, the Web3 Foundation is literally I'm pointing my finger at their office. It's right across the inner yard. Door,
the largest foundation in crypto.
Yeah, you have the Aragon guys are here. You have the Bitcoin Swiss guys from the more brokerage and banking side of things and that kind of stuff. But right now it's pretty quiet. And to be honest, the many projects that are here on paper, some of them are just post boxes and not really flesh and blood here. But then again, you have some projects that are really here and, making friends in the crypto space. And that's awesome.
Yeah. Henry, how did you come into the crypto world? What kind of drew you in? Where were you before?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story, actually. There's a couple of components to it. So I'm a tech guy, right? So I was working pretty deep in algorithmic trading at some point in 2008 to 2014.
And the high frequency trading bots and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, but not crypto at the time, for sure. Bitcoin just started during that period and I was pretty clueless at the time. So we were doing stocks on US markets, Canadian markets, and Nordic markets and that kind of stuff. But that's where I got interested about data and real-time data and sort of the potential that can be had in various different use cases. And from that, I sort of went to building more centralized infrastructure, cloud infrastructure for data, where you could share data streams, apply some analytics, that kind of stuff. And then I got like, we were sort of stuck in the sort of startup mode, in the sense that, you know, we had really cool ideas, but if we wanted to pitch them to like these traditional enterprises and industry giants, they wouldn't really build their critical infrastructures based on this product made by some Finnish startup somewhere. So we sort of needed to build something that's not dependent on ourselves anymore to mitigate that vendor risk kind of thing. And also we had this idea of data monetization and data marketplaces and this kind of things that were like very novel at the time. And then we got interested about Ethereum specifically when it launched in 2014 and saw that, okay, so decentralization and coupling these data economies with blockchains and other decentralized technologies will actually be an avenue where exactly the kind of independence of a particular vendor and that kind of reliability and security and all those data monetization options suddenly become available if just a little bit of innovation and a lot of hard work is put into it. So we set out on that path and started Streamr as you know it today.
And so streaming real-time data and subscribing to data, could you kind of walk us through like how the average consumer might leverage a system like Streamr?
Yeah. So Streamr is basically like a middleware. It's like a data middleware. So our users are not end users like people on the street. It's rather application developers. So what we're doing is quite technical, but I'll try to explain like the basic of it. So you could think of a file sharing protocol like BitTorrent, like everyone was doing wares back in the day, you know, that kind of thing. But we don't do static files. We don't do file sharing. Instead, we do sort of data stream sharing. So we're talking about real time sequences of messages that come from apps, IoT sensors, connected devices, financial markets, anywhere where something's happening all the time, and that data is being broadcast out to the world, either openly, like in an open data sense, that could be a thing in a smart city or in this kind of context, or in a sort of more private sense where access to that data or that data stream can be access controlled behind a payment. So you can have data streams that have sort of like a paywall there. You know, I'm producing valuable data. You want my data, so you'll have to pay me to get it. And this can work in a totally trustless way that we're used to in the crypto world that is like open and permissionless. And you can just go and, you know, make a transaction and then you get access to my data. So what we're trying to do is unlock new use cases for future data economies and Web3, as well as enable like secure data collection and distribution at very large scales. Like we're talking like global scales, right? And reduce the reliance on centralized cloud services like AWS in building this kind of data pipelines.
So the end goal, if I'm hearing it correctly, is to kind of have a decentralized cloud infrastructure. So like you said, you're not relying on any individual corporately owned cloud. Rather, yeah, there's almost like this shared cloud that is a big lake of data or a big ocean of data that is private, but it's, you know, it's not revealing, you know, identities about people. But because of blockchain and because of those cryptographically, you know, hashed together, you know, little footprints of information, you could prove that this is authentic data. Am I getting this all correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Like if you contrast it to something that's more familiar to the listeners, maybe just ledgers. I mean, when you transfer money, you can have banks have centralized ledgers and blockchains have decentralized ledgers, right? So this is a little bit like the same, but for data stream infrastructure and data pipelines. So you could have a data pipeline in the cloud where, you know, all the data goes to some machine that's run and owned by AWS and you know, that serves your applications and sends it out to whoever needs it. Or you can have this peer-to-peer protocol that is decentralized and there's no server, there's no, it's sort of like an emergent service from the collaboration of these nodes that people run, right? So it looks and feels like a cloud service in the same way that Ethereum or some other blockchain looks and feels like a bank ledger, but it's not, right? It's mm-hmm. it's totally not that under the hood, right?
Yeah, it's something that like imitates it almost, but it does it in such a novel and new way.
Exactly.
It's like when Henry Ford made the car. Everybody was like, "Oh, we just need faster horses." He's like, "No. We need faster horses, but we're gonna make something a little different here."
Yeah. The pattern is valid. Like data needs to be, you know, transported. We need to take data from here to here and broadcast it. But Streamr protocol does it in a different way. And the benefit of that is like not only the security and the scalability, but also the sort of composability or the openness of the infrastructure. So if everyone puts their data in data streams into the same protocol, then the result is that everyone can also get the data they need from the same protocol. So instead of like, if you're a data consumer, you're building application or analytics or AI or whatever that needs a lot of data to, you know, you need to ingest a lot of data. You can get a lot of things from sort of the same place. You know, you run your own node and ideally you get all the data streams in the world from that same sort of interface instead of having to integrate to this centralized API and this centralized API and this centralized API. You know, you get the picture. So there's very strong network effects, and the more that people use it and make data available over the Streamr network, the better it gets for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think this is a great point to segue the conversation here. And I think a lot of people who are listening that are familiar with, you know, cloud infrastructure, and maybe they're, you know, selling data packages or they're working for a technical company, I think a lot of this probably makes sense. But some of the other people on the side are thinking, well, this is a little over my head, but I've heard about the Streamr network and the data coin. And that's what got me interested in clicking on this interview or whatever. And so could you talk a little bit about how the data coin functions in the economy, what it is, why it exists, all that sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So it's sort of like the driving force in some sense that sits beside the infrastructure. So we're still building this. So not all the things that are envisioned for the token are there yet. So it will be used for staking in the Streamr network. Right now we have like a non-incentivized network version available right now. So the sort of token incentives will be added a little bit further down the road. It's already used for things like payments on the Streamr marketplace. And recently, like actually last week, we had the first round of decentralized governance on the Streamr project. So the
token means like voting stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly voting. So far, like since the beginning of the project, it's been governed by us centrally, the team, right? So we've been calling the shots. And what the end result will be, and that we're transitioning into now, and to some extent have transitioned already, is that the token holders call the shots. So we had a couple of proposals up, people voted, and the proposals both passed. So you know, but that was a nice exercise and sparking a lot of discussion. So the token is becoming sort of increasingly important. Mm-hmm. The governance is one of those main pillars of that. And then the token economics of the Streamr network are the second pillar. And that's something that we're still working on. That mm-hmm. will include like staking on nodes, for example, to sort of guarantee that they are honest in the network. It can include also like various mechanisms in vetting, for example, which data streams are valuable in that sense. So you could do that kind of thing in sort of surfacing some content on the network. So there's very many layers to that, but the basic the very, very basic idea in the streamer network token economy is that you can run a node and earn tokens by doing so. So you're sort of providing a service to the network, which is like relaying data, basically just propagating it in the network. So
and what's really cool, I think, is that, like, kind of as you're describing it, you can start to see, and, you know, people at home can start to kind of get a picture of, like, wow, like, you know, by holding a certain token, you have utility on a certain network and you can interact with it, but you also have, like, some clout, right? You have some weight, and it's in that weight that you could throw around is dependent upon, you know, how much stake or how much money essentially you have in that system. So I think that this is really the future that I'm trying to drive home to everybody at home, that, like, it's no longer that you have like no say in how your money and your government really works. Like, right, we think we have delegates now, like, oh, one vote counts. Like, none of like our democracy, like, really is transparent and really effective. And so when you start to have computer programs that are checking and verifying every single vote, and that, you know, if you have 10 tokens, you have 10 votes. And if that person has 100 tokens, guess what? He has 100 votes because the network means 10 times as much to him. So that's how it should work. Yes. And it's kind of a little bit like an oligopoly or a plutocracy, yeah, right? And some people, for sure, kind of, that, you know, they poo-poo it. They say that's a bad thing. But I think it's actually sort of the next transition of how capitalism is going to be developing.
Yeah, could be. And especially in the early stages of protocols, like we're living that time now, there's very high risk. So it makes total sense. Like, the token-based voting and power isn't really, like, it gives power to those who have the biggest risk. And that is much more important than, like, giving voting power to those who have the most money or something like that. Those who carry risk in the project should steer it into directions that make sense for the project.
That's actually like the most phenomenal, like, repartee I've ever heard to the question of, like, well, you know, oh, well, it's just a new oligopoly. Well, it's not necessarily just a new oligopoly. It's the fact that these people are carrying risk in that system. Yes. So guess what? They deserve to govern it, like, because they're putting their skin in the game.
Exactly. And on the other hand, like, people who participate in the network, they should be earning. So in a similar sense that you've had, like, mining in proof of work networks like Bitcoin or current day Ethereum, and proof of stake in future blockchains, you can sort of participate in running the network, and by so doing also earn rewards. And those rewards actually grant you voting power on decisions about the network. So it all sort of works together in a loop. You know, it forms this sound picture of how it's supposed to work. Like, okay, these people who have risk and these people who help run it, they decide about it. So all of that makes sense to me.
And then, and Henry, could you tell us a little bit about the process to get set up with a node? And I know a lot of listeners are miners. A lot of them are setting up, you know, staking, you know, what website can we drive them to? And B, is it super technically complex to get it set up, or can people kind of just, you know, download a client and start it running?
Yeah, I think it's quite easy, or going to be quite easy. We're right now in a stage where it's not quite yet possible to do it. So we're sort of running this testnet kind of centralized setup at the moment, and working towards decentralization. So this year, around summer, I guess, maybe a bit before summer, we'll be able to launch, like, the next generation testnet. And then after summer, the main net for that thing. That will be the moment when anyone can join in and run nodes in the network. So right now we're sort of, it's in sight, but we're not quite there yet. And also the details of how it will be packaged are still a little bit open, but it's basically quite easy. It doesn't require a lot of, you know, power from the computer. It's not like you need specialized hardware like you need for mining Bitcoin, for example. So you can run it on a normal box. The thing that is important in the streamer network is basically uptime. So you need to be live. You need to be, like, online. So you wouldn't run a node on, you know, a mobile phone or an unreliable internet connection or something like that, because you're delivering real-time data streams, and if you get cut off of the network, then it will be disrupted. So reliable connections are something that are one of the key things for nodes in the streamer network.
Fascinating. And and if you are, you know, planning on mining and you're staking or whatever, and you get cut off from the internet, you close your laptop or whatever, you might get slashed, which means you might lose a portion of your stake. Is that right?
Well, not necessarily. It's more like you don't earn during those times that you're not online. Slashing is also possible, but in our case, it's not like, you know, either you're performing the service or you're not. And if you're not, it's not a bad thing. You know, you're not trying to lie about something like on blockchain networks. An attacker might be trying to give
double
like a false truth about something. Yeah, double spend or anything like that. In the streamer network, you're basically just shoveling data around from one place to another. And if you're not doing that, it's not so bad. Maybe you don't need to be like, you know, we don't need to chop your finger off or anything like that. It's just you're not earning for that.
Well, that's fascinating. The last thing I want to ask, Henry, before we let you go is, you know, your general thoughts on what is driving the current bull market.
Oh, for sure. It's the DeFi boom. And I think that's pretty clear. I'm not exactly sure why it's like going to so crazy heights. So I'm a little bit sort of a little bit softly calling a bubble for some aspects of the market. But I think also that the crypto winter lasted for too long. You know, it was just like super depressed for a super long time. And
nuclear winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 years.
Like apocalyptic, you know, people went into these underground vaults and, you know, then they're slowly coming up from there. So much of the bull market is like actual correction due to maturity of projects and use cases in the space, but it might be a little bit overheated now. So let's see what happens. But I'm pretty excited about a lot of stuff that's happening. A lot of the DeFi, it's shown a sort of new phenomenon, new killer app, new killer use case that follows the sort of ICO boom of 2017. It's also showing how many kinds of assets can be tokenized and monetized, not just like speculative crypto assets, but we have like a Cambrian explosion of stable coins. And we have like, you know, we have data assets, we have real estate assets, we have all these kind of things that can be used to earn yields on the market. We're starting to go towards proof of stake and earning yields in that way. So a lot of like these financial opportunities that definitely justify the sort of boom in the space. But I'm not big in, you know, making predictions or commentating on the market. I think the market does have a bit of a like mind of its own, and it's sometimes a little detached from fundamentals sometimes.
Yeah.
In both good and bad. Like it works both ways, right?
Yeah. So I remember in the bear market, right? You know, can it go any lower? Can it go any longer? Yeah. Oh my God, next month, can it go any lower? Can it go any longer? For 3 years asking myself that. And so now on the upside, I'm like, oh, can it go any longer? How high can it go? Yeah, oh my God, is it still going to go?
Look at the memes. Look at the memes. I'm a meme trader if I do any speculation. So when you see the Lambo memes and everyone's happy, you have to go and sell. And when there's, you know, blood on the floor and everyone's crying, you have to go and buy. It's very easy. This is my tactic.
Yes.
But I don't speculate that much.
You follow the sentiment of the market to a T.
You don't need to read any posts anywhere. You just look at the memes.
Yeah, you sell enough when there's euphoria and you buy when there's fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Henry, thank you so much, man, for spending this half hour with us. Really, really enjoyed all the comments, and we're excited about what the streamer network is going to be rolling out, man. It's going to be great stuff.
Oh, for sure. Thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure.
Take care.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.